John chapter 14. We're going to be working specifically tonight on verses 10 through 14. We're going to get a running start. We'll read 1 through 15. One of the things that I really like in my group is our first read through is just paying attention. And the verses we're covering tonight, specifically 10 through 14, I want you guys to, like, kind of a first take, first run through. What kind of stuff jumps out at you? What do you notice in there? And just let you guys throw a few things out there first before we come back and firm it up on the details from the scripture. So let's start in verse 1 and we'll go through verse 15 of John 14. Mrs. Wilson, if you want to start, and just if you don't want to read, you can just bump your neighbor next to you or whatever. And I know we kind of are spread out in a couple rows, so maybe we'll just go from... it's chaos. Let's just figure it out. All right, Mrs. Wilson. John 14, verse 1.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you.
Wow, I get a pause. Isn't it just great to have young people be able to read? I love it. The rest of your life, you can learn anything about God you want to learn because you can read. That's awesome. All right, verse 3.
If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be also.
And you know the way where I am going.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and he knows
me. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us.
Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father?
Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works.
Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works we tell.
Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father.
Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right, so we've covered the whole setting kind of leading up to verse 10. It is interesting that Jesus' apostles specifically, who he's talking to here, these guys have been with him for very intimately for 2.5 years. And Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years long, but by the time that he called them and then he continued to do some things, by the time they all really joined up and were with him really consistently, it's well over 2.5 years. That these guys had been with him. And Jesus says, you know where I'm going. Caleb Wilson asked last week, he's like, why would Jesus say, you know where I'm going when they don't know? I just said, it's like sometimes for me teaching math, a kid might say, Mr. Wilson, I don't know how to do this. I say, yes, you do. You know how to do this, right? Like if you've been paying attention, if you've been learning the things you should be learning, you know this. So I think that's what Jesus is saying, you know, and they get a little hung up, and he's gonna help them out on that a little bit. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then he goes on and has a discussion. Hey, if you'd known me, you would have known my Father. And Philip, hey, Lord, show us the Father. That's good enough for us. Who wouldn't that be good enough for? Right? You know, and Jesus said, look, Philip, have I been so long with you and you still don't know me? How can you say, show us the Father? And so that kind of leads us up to verses 10 through 14. What sort of things First read through. I'll give you guys a second. Read 10 through 14 again. And what sort of things do you notice or got questions about? Or Caleb.
Seems like in verse 11, basically saying the works that he has done should be enough for them to be able to tell he's in the Father.
Exactly. So, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Sometimes we might have a hard time connecting some of the dots, like with some of the particulars on things. But the overwhelming evidence of Jesus' works, of which these guys would have been firsthand eyewitnesses of virtually all of them, they know, like, this isn't just a man, this is God doing this. So they should have, and they did, recognize his divinity, they just still weren't quite getting it. But Jesus is saying, even if you don't understand what I'm saying, believe because of the works that you've seen me do. So, yeah, that's a good point. Elizabeth. Oh, you were just yawning? Oh.
Through this whole thing, he's comforting them. He's about to pay the ultimate price. And they're like caught up almost in themselves a little bit here. He's comforting them. I mean, that's what I notice after that.
It's really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the one, like you said, what he's going to go through.
Yeah, he's about to face the ultimate sacrifice and nothing we can imagine. And he's comforting all of his disciples, even though they've seen everything that he's done.
Yep. That's me. That is one of the most beautiful things to me about Jesus is the way he always has concern for those around him, like above his own. It's a great overall point out of this. Abby. Yeah, so that's good, and I wasn't going to hit on that a lot, so I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, what some of the conditions are, right? Because you can say, hey, I'll just give you a quick example. When I was a kid, I grew up in Bozeman, and I did some running in the indoor in the winter times in the field house where the Bobcats played basketball. Well, they had some, long and the short of it is, my family, we had a van that we used to take people around, pick them up for school, this kind of stuff. And this thing was on its last legs. I mean, it blew the coolest smoke rings, and we liked it. You hit bumps, and you hit your head on the ceiling. I mean, it was cool stuff, but we knew we needed a new van. So they had this van that was for a raffle. So my dad bought a raffle ticket. He said, hey, guys, you boys, pray we get this van, because we need a van. So, man, we prayed. And he actually, my dad took us to that basketball game where they were doing the drawing for the raffle. So this huge thing, they do it. And you know, they pull two of them out, and I'm just 100% convinced, like, this is our van, and it wasn't us. And I'm like, I was like, what? Like, I was like, this is why we came to this game, because we're getting this van. And we prayed, you know, we prayed hard. And then my dad afterwards, like, you know, actually it was more of a, like, a vacation type touring van anyways, really wouldn't work that great. I was like, why didn't you tell me that before I prayed for it? But... But there are, you know, there are conditions with that. Okay, and the scripture does talk about this. James chapter 4 talks about our motives being right. I think 1 John talks about anything according to his will. So there's some, we'll talk in context here about particularly what Jesus means by this. It's for us to be able to carry out his mission. The resource of heaven are available to us. But it definitely, this is not the idea that God's going to be your sugar daddy as long as you ask through Jesus' name. It's going to be his resources to carry out his purpose for really us to do greater works than he did. That's, I think, the thrust of it. So that's a really quick answer. Good question. Mikhail.
Just 10 through 13, 14 too. I don't know, it just makes me thankful for the power of Christ in you.
Mm-hmm. The very next section we're going to go into, and this is going to be, he's going to specifically tell them the helper, But you can already see these verses. He's talking about the Holy Spirit who he's going to send, hasn't he? And we're very thankful for that. So, okay, I think, Kendra.
Verse 12, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he also will do. That's a pretty clear, like, test, I guess. If you're looking at other people, it's like, hey, is it matching with God or not?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. We claim to be followers of Christ. Does our life match the life of Christ? Okay. If it doesn't, then it doesn't really matter what we say, right? So God's intention, and that I actually want to work on that. God's intention, guys, is that through His people, He's going to do His work through His people. Thankfully, that's why He sent the Holy Spirit. But it's like Jesus' work didn't end when He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and went to heaven. Okay. Now His work is going on through the people that He indwells. So, all right, that's good. Thanks for getting some thinking and the brains going here. Let's break this down then a little bit as we work through it. You know, from God, most of the time I just think about stuff from my perspective, but every once in a while I try to like step outside of that and say, I wonder what this looks like from God's perspective. And every once in a while I want to look, say, wonder what this looks like from the devil's perspective. And, you know, some interesting things you start thinking about that. But, you know, God has a great challenge. And that challenge is to get us to, members of the human race, to have faith in Him. I mean, Philip said it pretty well. Hey, just show us the Father. That's enough for us. Like, if I can just see it. But seeing isn't faith, is it? There's a day coming, guys, when our faith is going to become sight. I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, like, God's gone to great lengths to communicate, to find people who are willing to really see with their spiritual eyes. We're not talking about a blind leap or anything else. We're talking about being able to open up our spiritual eyes to see past the realm of the physical, to see truth, okay, through Christ. And it's obviously a great challenge. You think about the Old Testament. The only people, by the way, that were ever justified, guys, were justified by faith. Nobody was ever justified by law. Couldn't do it. So let me ask you a question. Who's the father of the faithful? Who's the scripture describes the father of the faithful? Abraham. How clear was Abraham's faith picture? Get up and go. Oh, and you know what? Through your descendants, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Okay, Lord, I don't even have any children, but I mean, it wasn't very clear. But there was a picture, there was a glimmer, okay, of what was coming. And even the progression of the Old Testament, I mean, through the giving of the law, and then some of those prophets that did speak more openly of Christ, but the picture was still pretty, it's a little fuzzy. So right now, this is weird, but I went and I bought windshield wipers for my car because I knew they needed them. But I've been too lazy to put them on. So I always think about putting them on when I'm going down the road and I can't see anything very well. I'm like, man, I need to remember to put those windshields. I should just put them on my car. But they're laying in my house. But when I'm going through, I can see, like, enough to I haven't gotten in a wreck yet. But it's not super clear. Yes, Kayla's blessed to have me as a dad. Okay. But, guys, from the Old Testament perspective, that's kind of what it was, wasn't it? You could see, but it wasn't very clear. Like, you knew something was out there. And Job, even, I like the way he says it. I know that my Redeemer lives. So there was some pictures, but it was fuzzy. It was looking through those windshield wipers that are... Now, with the coming of Christ, hey, God's made things open, available, so we can see with much more clarity. I don't really have time for this, but it's interesting. Luke chapter 1, verse 78 talks about the sunrise on high coming, was going to come to visit us, talking about Christ. The sunrise, you think about when the sun comes up, okay? And all of a sudden, things come to light and you can see. That's a fulfillment, by the way, of a prophecy, guys, from Malachi chapter 4. The Son of Righteousness is going to, it's S-U-N, of righteousness, coming with healing in its wings. I know sometimes you see that in those lines in the hymn, and people want to say, oh no, that should be S-O-N. Well, it is S-O-N, but the quotation from the prophecy is S-U-N. It's giving light, allowing us to see. And so, Christ is the one who's done that for us. And so, you know, as Jesus is wrapping up his time with the apostles, one of the things he's communicating to them is that he was in the Father, and the Father was in him. Anybody ever heard of the Trinitarianism? Let's shorten it up. Anybody ever heard of the Trinity? Three in one, one in three. But when you actually kind of play that out, as theologians try to define that, you get some, I think, some ideas that are actually different than what the Scripture actually teaches about it. So sometimes you hear separate but equal. Sometimes you'll hear they were one in purpose. But the Scripture is actually, and it, hey, this is complicated. I'm not denying it's complicated, and we're gonna talk about it a little bit here. But the Scripture makes it very clear. God, in the spiritual realm, it's like God morphs into Jesus. Jesus morphs. I mean, they're one. Here's an illustration that I use, which is still limited because it's physical. And so I still don't think it's a perfect illustration. Because, honestly, I think for us to understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all are one, I think you have to get into the realm of eternity away from space and time, which is what we're stuck in. But I do like to think about H2O, chemical composition H2O, right? Hey, When I say H2O, what do you think of?
Water.
Okay, what picture pops into your mind?
A glass of water.
Yeah, it's liquid, right? But we can also have solid H2O, and we can also have vapor H2O, and it depends on which state, right? Temperature, pressure, etc. So I think about God is one. But when God reveals himself in the flesh, how does he reveal himself? Through God the Son. Okay? When God's Spirit's living in each one of us, hey, God the Spirit. Okay? The one sitting on the throne, okay? God the Father. I think when we get to heaven, we're not going to see three gods. We're going to see one God. Okay? Going to be in one state, one place. Okay? So, like I said, the illustration is still a little lacking, but I think that's the thrust. When you put all the Scriptures together, one. So, you know, the words of Jesus, I'm going to pick on Will Hauser for a second because you're a brand new Christian. But one of the things that you became a Christian because the words of Jesus, they convicted you, didn't they?
They resonate.
Yeah. Like you guys know how much I get into evidence and proving the Bible is the Word of God and all that stuff. But one of the greatest evidences is you read the words of Jesus, and it's like, this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy knows me. You remember in John chapter 7, they go and send the Pharisees, and they send some officers to go and arrest Jesus. And they come back, and they don't have, he's like, where is he? They're like, nobody ever spoke the way this guy spoke. Yeah, we can't, like, They were this guy is legit. We can't come back having arrested him. You know, in John chapter 6, a bunch of people are leaving because Jesus talks about controversial stuff, and I'm sure some of the listeners are thinking this guy's talking about cannibalism and that kind of thing. And Jesus ends up, you know, he asks Peter, well, the rest of the apostles, even says, hey, you guys want to leave too? And they say, Lord, where would we go? You have words of eternal life. Jesus' words are really amazing. And his words, I think every one of us in here knows, ever any times that Jesus' words convict you, They pierce your heart. They make you go, wow, I gotta change some things. Every time Jesus' words like give you encouragement when you were just down and you really needed some. Any words, anytime that Jesus' words ever give you hope? Hey, yeah, there, I can do this. Hey, Jesus' words, they're always life. Hey, no, and so it's impressive to me. So Jesus, when he says this in John 14, he says, the words I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative. This is not just some man that's coming up with these things to say. Okay? You start comparing all the wise men of the world, and their words aren't anything like the words of Jesus. Okay? These are the words of God. That's what he's saying. Like, I didn't speak these on my own initiative. The Father abiding in me, he does his works. So, what? And then, Caleb, what you pointed out, you know, I think it was you. believe on account of the works themselves. If you don't believe me because of my sayings. So, let me just ask you guys this. Is it ever, do you ever read the Bible and you have a hard time figuring out exactly what it means in certain spots? Yeah. Do you ever come up with some unanswerable questions? I can come up with some unanswerable questions. Really, probably about just about anything. But even the things we don't understand. So for me, just in my life, big picture, I can absolutely prove with certainty Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So if Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he's spoken, then I'm going to take his word on whatever he says, because whether I can follow it down to the nth degree or not, it's like this. I think of it sometimes as like you have this big contract, right? When we sign on the dotted line, Will just became a Christian. He said, Jesus is Lord. He's God. That's what he said. I heard that. That was awesome. Okay? That's who Jesus is. You signed on the dotted line. You don't know all the fine print yet.
Nope.
But you know what you said? I mean, part of saying that is, whatever the fine print is, I trust you. I believe you. So even guys, when we can't always connect the dots, we can believe because of the works that Jesus has done. So let me ask you guys a question here. What are some works that Jesus did? Just throw a few out. This is a free-for-all tonight.
Lazarus.
Raising Lazarus from the dead. That's a big resurrection from the dead. That's a big one.
Fed
5,000 people on... Yeah. Sometimes you worry about how much money you got at the end of the month. No, months at the end of the money. However that works. Hey, Jesus can do this, right? That's a big one. Chris, you got one?
Made the blind to see.
Made the blind to see. Okay. I mean, if Jesus wanted to, he was here. Gerald and Janice, he'd come. Boom. It's impressive to see those things, right? So, the works convince us, and ultimately I think the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Him never to die again. Because that's the greatest work there ever was. So, the details, like I said, I think the details we can say, okay, even if I can't quite, let's just say this one, connect the dots about how the Father, the Son, the Spirit are one, I believe you. Believe because of the works themselves. So, this part gets interesting. All of Scripture is really about helping us have faith in Christ, right? And I got to be honest with you guys, where I'm at in my life, I have no problems believing. I mean, I have zero doubts as far as who Jesus is. You know where it's a little tougher for me sometimes? Believing that I'm who God says I am. You know what I mean by that? Like Christ, hey, he's perfect. I believe Jesus was perfect, without sin. Every single moment of his life, his spirit had the upper hand over his flesh. Impressive. But I believe that. I believe Jesus rose. I believe Jesus healed the blind people and the lame. And I believe he did all those things. Now, when God says, okay, scripturally, you know, I'm making this personal, but Luke, this is who you are. My spirit lives in you. From now on, I don't want you to recognize yourself according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. It's no longer you who live, but I live in you. Okay, that's a little tougher. Why is that tougher? I'm very conscious of all the ways I've fallen short, for one thing. Right? I know all the mistakes I've made. I mean, I probably don't even know all of them. But the ones I know are, you know, so how do I get past that? How do I, and really that's, you know, the New Testament, Christ, the Holy Spirit, all that's there to help us to be able to get on with the new. Okay? That old man died, a new creature, okay? Living, I mean, Christ. But realistically, guys, I hope you'll understand what I'm saying here. We believe in Christ, but do you see what he says here? He believes in us. Sometimes just to know, like I know my kids. I'll just say my mom too. For me in my life, I miss my mom still. 5 years ago, mom died. I think 5 years ago my mom died. But my mom was, she's an amazing lady. But one of the most amazing things for me personally is she always believed in me. Like from the time I was a kid, my mom told me, like, she believed I could do it. I think she really believed it. And because she believed it, like I believed in my, like I thought I could do it. She was great at communicating that to me. I mean, amazing woman that way. And I know as a dad of 4 kids, you know what they want? Like, they're, most of the time in the world, your interactions with the world, you're not going to have, people aren't always going to fill you with confidence and belief, and they're not out there to encourage you and help you. A lot of the world's tearing down and chipping away and trying to, you know. So I know my kids, like they want, if I believe in them, they can believe in themselves. They can do anything they set their mind to. But they need that from me. Guys, you think the Lord understands us as his children? We need that? And that's what he's saying here. The works that I do, you guys go and do.
Cast out the doubt.
Exactly. And he actually is going to even clarify this, because I start saying, well, how? Like, the works that Jesus did, we're going to do, and even greater works than these? So let's think about, how could there be greater works than those? Let's ask a question. Gerald and Janice, whether or not they're ever able to hear in this life on earth, does that really matter? What matters is that they hear the words of Christ and they live for eternity. When they get that body of glory, there will be no imperfections in that. Just using that as an example, right? So to heal somebody physical, their physical sense of hearing, that's not nearly as important as to heal somebody's spiritual sense of hearing. To make somebody lame who's able to walk, that's not nearly as important as helping somebody who's spiritually lame be able to get up and start walking on paths of righteousness. To raise somebody from, you know, I think this one always gets me. Jesus is walking along and I think it's at Nain, and the son's in the, I kind of picture him in the casket, and Jesus walks by and, you know, basically raises him from the dead, and the kid like pops back up. It's pretty cool to think about. But you know what? He's going to die still. But to be able to give someone spiritual life for eternity, like Those are the things God's called us to do, hasn't He? Now, we can't do this, guys, on our own. And He even says that. He said His belief, He says, greater works than these shall He do. Talking about us. Because I go to the Father. When Jesus was here, Mikhail, this is what you're talking about. He's going to explain it further down the road. But when Jesus was here, guys, He could be one place at a time. When Jesus ascended there, the Spirit's in me, the Spirit's in you. Just think Billings, Montana. You don't even have to let your mind go any further. Just think Billings, Montana, the presence that Christ had in this town today. Through us, His people. And now you can go, like, you want to go across the world? That's His plan. That sometimes, I'm just going to work on myself for a second here. I don't do my part to carry out that plan because I forget and I lose some faith. I allow some doubts to creep back in, however you want to say it. Jesus believes in us because He knows the power source that He's put within us. I'm really appreciative of this congregation lately. Has been talking about a lot about love. It is to love one another the way that Jesus loved us. Is that a natural thing to do? I want to go back to what you brought up at the beginning. Okay, if I know I'm going to the cross and I'm going to get beat and my body's going to be going into shock. I'm going to have to try to haul across and my body's going to shut down because of that. I'm going to have people taunting me, spitting in my face, ripping my beard out, saying, hey, if you're the Son of God, come on down from the cross, prove yourself. Like, if I know all that's coming, is it natural to be concerned to comfort these guys? No. That's supernatural, right? For us to love the way Christ loves, it's going to require a supernatural love. But God, Jesus, when He's saying this, He believes in us because He knows the Spirit whom He's given to us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Mikhail, would you read that?
Check it when he winds up. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline.
Okay, I'm just right now keen in on love. Spirit of love. That's the Spirit He's given to us. Hasn't given us a spirit of being afraid. We'd probably add in some other words, not to the Scripture, but we could think about, not a spirit of doubting. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and discipline. That's who lives in us. Ephesians chapter 3. For the sake of time, we're not going to go there. But I love that passage. It talks about us being strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Jesus isn't asking us to do this on our own. But He is asking us. As a matter of fact, He's saying. He isn't asking. He's saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do greater works than He did. There's a gal I'm Bible studying with right now, and I just had a great conversation with it. She's like, I know I have a purpose in this life and I can't figure out what it is. Like, I know I was made to do, my life was made to count. Yeah, it was. She needs to become a Christian so her life can count. Hey, but guys, our lives were made to count, weren't they? Jesus says these are greater works we're going to do because He goes to the Father. Every single moment of every day is Christ is, He's working in us and through us. Individually, think of the things we can do. And then you start, like you say, just what if this congregation was only the size of this group right here? If every one of us, we believed this, we bought into this, and we practiced this for 1 week in Billings, Montana, what do you think? Think we have a little impact? Yeah, I'm with you. Because there are people out there, they're looking for something. But they got to see it in us, right? So the follow-up to that then is, that's the context in which Jesus says, let's go back to John 14. John 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's that condition, right? It's for God's glory. That's the context. And then if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So, let's actually go to Ephesians. I do want to hit this. Ephesians chapter 3. I mentioned verse 16 earlier that we'd be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Let's read verse 20, Jeff. Ephesians 3, verse 20.
Now to Him who is able to do more, far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within
us. Oh, hey, there, He's going to be able to do this according to the power that works within us. He's able to do beyond what we ask or think. You know the conclusion I come to sometimes? I just think too small. I ask too small. I mean, probably a good idea to just start asking. Yeah, small. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it in this context. Because you think when whatever your agenda is tomorrow, whatever your schedule, wherever you're going, whatever people you interact with, do you think if you seriously ask the Lord, it's not just a one-time thing, but you ask Him tonight before you go to bed, you get up in the morning, you're going, Lord, help me. Help me to show You. Help me to be like You. My interactions with people. Help me to show Your love. Help me to speak the truth. Help me to shine the way. Do you think the Lord's going to honor that prayer? That's what He wants. That's who He made us to be. Greater works than these we shall do, because He goes to the Father. He hasn't left us alone, guys. And that's what He's going to go on about. He had not left us alone. He'd given us the Helper so we can do this. So big picture tonight, just a couple things I want to, challenge us a little bit to be doers of the Word. Jesus said, believe in Me. So let me just ask you a question. Do you believe? And the follow-up, do you believe what Jesus has said about you? So, you don't have to answer this to me, but I would like you to think, what's one specific thing? What's one specific area? What's something specific you can do that would be one of those greater works you can do by the power of the Spirit this week? What would that look like for you? Maybe there's somebody that you got unresolved conflict with. Hey, Jesus says, go and take care of it, right? What if there's, somebody you've been wanting to talk to about Christ and you just have put it off? Maybe for me, I've had some people say, yeah, we'll sit down, and I just haven't followed up to sit down with them. That's my goal. That's mine. Okay. But there's something we can do, right? I want you to fill it in for you. Okay. But let's believe this. Christ lives in us. Let's do our part. A year from now, wouldn't it be great if we had to have 8 groups instead of 4? That'd be great. We have people that could do it. We got people that could lead groups. I think there's truth seekers in Billings, and plenty that we haven't reached yet. Let's be like Christ. Let's believe what He said. Let's do it. Any closing questions, comments?
It'd be great if we needed another building. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mikhail's like, wow.
I'm new to this, but
it'd be great.
On board with
everything. And actually, I'm glad this came up because, it's you know, the magic number is 299. You get over that, you have to put in this $500,000. Hey, build another building. But what? Hey, here's the thing, guys. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. You know, when you start thinking about the resources, if we're doing what God wants us to do, the resources are available to us, right? If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. We know. We can see the challenge and their challenge.
I'm praying that you guys, preach down at the apartment place. And you've got a sign on the red where we're having the logs there where we pay red. And then on Wednesdays at 2 o'clock.
On Wednesdays at 2 o'clock? Anybody can come in and chat?
It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, 10 o'clock.
I don't know if it's AM or PM. I'm pretty sure it's
8 p.m. I think AM. 10 p.m. Bedtime stories. That's great. All right. Let's do it, guys. Let's remember who we are in Christ and through Him. Let's see. Mikhail, would you close this morning prayer?
Yeah. Dear Lord, I ask God for this opportunity. We get to come together and dig into your word, Lord, for Mr. Wilson and his love for you and love for us. And so we share. Lord, I pray that take these things that you want them and take the steps that we need to apply in our lives, Lord. There's a powerful thing that you've given us, and pictures and the foresight we see in the scripture, Lord, but also the power that you've given us. You are in us, the Holy Spirit, that really we can overcome, we can conquer. I pray that we will see, be really strengthened by that, and look up when things seem tough and find strength in you. I pray you'll be with us as we go our separate ways. Be light. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. One final thought. If nothing else, guys, pray more. If you ask me anything, let's pray. It's His power. All right?